everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I am JP. He is Nick Martin. How are you, Nick?
Oh, I'm so good. So excited for this one.
Oh, me too. I'm really excited. Yeah. Before I get into the excitement and let you know who is on the show today, got to thank our sponsors. Of course, big fat thank you to Great Notion Brewing out of Portland, Oregon. They're amazing. No, Nick's as if on cue, man. Make sure you download the Great Notion app. And if you put in the code DADCAST10, you get yourself a nifty little discount to beer served directly to your door cold. And of course, locally here, KMVU Fox 26. They're amazing. And we're super duper excited today, Nick. We've partnered up with an amazing company and an amazing brand. As of right now, we are proud to say Dadcast not only endorses, but we actually also use the Micro Touch collection of products. Brett Favre uses them. That might be coming handy, considering today's guest we could talk about. But there is the awesome Micro Touch titanium trim and this precision little guy that they sent to us today, the Titanium Max. Amazing. Listen up, you guys, as busy dads, who's got time to trim up those beards? I know I don't. There are barely enough minutes in the day to get everything done without worrying about cleaning up excess and unwanted body hair, right? Nope. With the MicroTouch Titanium collection of products, cleaning up unwanted hair from head to toe, it's a breeze, man. Stainless steel blades are coated with titanium for a more durable and long-lasting blade. Solo titanium, it's rechargeable. They won't nick or cut. And of course, the products are dry shave, dry trim, and dry groom only. That means quick, easy, and convenient groom anywhere, anytime. You can get yours right now. Actually, maybe wait till the show's over. And once that happens, go to www.solotitanium.com. So MicroTouch, thanks, man. We appreciate you and we hope you guys go get your stuff. Woo! That was a mouthful. Right. Nick, did you show yours?
No, I forgot to grab it.
Nick has some, I guarantee it. Today,
I got the important stuff.
Yeah, you had the beer, right? I was thinking about actually shaving my parts of my face right here on live on the air.
I was thinking about going with the Jacob Young stash. I was like, kind of inspired me.
I know, right? Maybe I'll dare you to do that later. Today on the show. Oh, and also there was a nice little note card from them. It says, "Hey, Nick, hope you and the Dadcast team enjoy your at MicroTouch Groom products. Can't wait to see, hear your content." Well, you're going to see it real soon. Thank you so much. Today on the show, Dadcast is proud to present to you a former NFL player who is, he's got a story to tell. He's an author, businessman, amazing guy. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Daryl Clack. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, good. I hope you got through that whole commercial there.
Oh, yeah. Commercial's good.
All right. Well, Dadcast, what we're about is obviously spreading the word of how important it is, fatherhood, and how important it is to have fathers in the lives. We try to spread that positive message, and we talk to all sorts of different dads out there. And again, you don't have to be a dad to be on the show, but typically that's what we do. And with that being said, the rite of passage, the very first question I like to typically ask right here on Dadcast is, Daryl Clack, are you a dad?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yes, I have a 14-year-old daughter and a 27-year-old stepdaughter.
All right.
So, I'm definitely a dad.
Yes, girl. Sure you are.
I'm even more excited now. So we can get some advice on what to happen from now until they're 27, JP, because we're dealing with like the 16-year-olds right now.
Mm-hmm. High school.
It's terrible.
did you have any issues with the stepdaughter, you know, the teen years, 14 to high school and whatnot, or was it just the typical problems that we all do have as dads?
Actually, I didn't have any problems with her. She was a very sweet girl growing up. You just have fun and, we did like sports and things of that nature, but she's a very intelligent, smart little girl growing up. And so she didn't have any issues. And one thing I got to say is with her, I didn't have any issues with boys. So she didn't start dating any boys until she was like 18, senior high school.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
count yourself blessed.
That worked out really well.
The luckiest man in the world right here.
Yeah, I know. I've got a 17-year-old pushing 18-year-old stepdaughter. who's been with me since she was 3 years old, sharing time with her dad as well. He's a great guy. You know, there's, it's a split house type deal. But she has, recently, she's had a boyfriend in the past year, and we won't go into the details and the nitty gritty of all that, but let's just say it is not easy. It is very difficult to navigate. So lucky you, man. I hope you have the same luck with the 14-year-old.
So far, so good. I know I had a conversation with her when she was going to high school, ninth grade. And, you know, I was letting her know, hey, there's no boyfriends. You have friends and male friends, but no boyfriends. And we'll have a discussion when you become a senior in high school about having boyfriends. But right now, there's no boyfriends. And
well,
she agreed. So far, so good.
I wish I could say off, man. We're gonna go back around to dad here, I promise, on this episode, but I want to cover a couple things with you. The typical things I'm sure you get in every single interview, and we'll get through that. But I want to talk about the exciting thing first. Well, it's all exciting, don't get me wrong. But you, sir, as far as I'm concerned, after doing a deep dive on Daryl Clack on the internet, would say you're most famously known as being a former Dallas Cowboy NFL player. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
Okay. And we're talking 1983, 1987, give or take a year. That was when you you played.
86, 89, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that should still line up. So I told you off the air, I had something I wanted to tell you that I think is really, really cool. I grew up in Thousand Oaks, California.
Okay.
You are a Dallas Cowboy, so I'm fairly certain you know exactly where that may be, because the Landry years played their spring camp at California Lutheran University, CLU, in Thousand Oaks, California.
That's correct.
My dad, when I was a kid, probably anywhere from 10 to 14 years old, would take me out to spring training or spring camp, whatever, camp. And Too Tall Jones rode me around on his shoulders. I played catch with Randy White. And it's safe to assume you were there during those moments.
Yes, I was there. Yep.
So I was
still there. Danny White.
Yep.
Tony Hill, Everson Walls, all those guys are still there. I was there.
Yep. So we've met.
Yes.
Because I met the whole team.
We might have met at some point.
I was much smaller and much younger, but probably a little bit thicker. And the hair was much brighter red and orange. But I just, you know, when we found out that you were going to be on the show, I said, that's amazing. I've probably met this man, didn't even realize it. And here we are pushing 40 years later, give or take.
Yeah.
I have you on our show. And I just think that's the coolest thing, which makes obviously the Cowboys my second favorite team. Unless, of course, they're playing the Raiders and then all bets are off. But
plus, we play the Raiders a lot down there, too.
Yes. And
I'm sure you saw all that stuff, too. Yeah.
Bouncing between Oakland and L.A. during the time. Yeah. It was great. And my father, who was in heaven, thank you so much for providing those memories, man. That's I feel blessed because I had a great father, and a lot of kids out there do not. And again, kind of point we're trying to push with Dadcast here and all that. All right. Now that we're fanboying is over. I kind of want to ask you about, the book you wrote and, you know, the inspiration for it. And I've tried pronouncing it, but I'm not even going to dare. The TTP, I believe.
Yeah.
TTP. So yeah. That 2016 that came out. And of course the early onset dementia. Pushing to about 5-6 years now since that diagnosis, and inspired you to write a book. Tell us all about that, man.
Well, it's one of those things where, for the life of me, I never thought about writing a book, ever, you know. I've seen some of my teammates and players and people that, you know, have written books, whatever, but it's never dawned on me to even write a book until, the time when I, had this episode where I was, which is in 2016, where I had an episode where I had got sick and got diagnosed with TTP, which is a blood disorder.
Yep.
Generates blood clots. And when that does, it stops oxygen flow in my brain, heart, or kidneys. And then, but that process, when it first happened, I had a, just kind of make a long story short, had a minor small stroke symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what started it. We was on vacation in California with my family at the time. And all of a sudden I just started getting my left arm was numb and, you know, just slurred speech and everything. And my wife at the time called the 911. They came and did the diagnosis and everything. Say he's having a stroke, rushed me into the ambulance. I passed out in the ambulance, got to the hospital. That was it. I don't remember anything else from that point until 2 days later when I woke up. And so what happened was they had diagnosed me with TTP and started me treatment at that particular time, but my body didn't take it. So I had a seizure, and that's when I went into a coma for 2 days. Oof. And then when I finally woke up and went through that whole process of having to do lots of treatments and lots of rebuilding myself and restoring my memory and all that kind of things, it just dawned on me, like all of a sudden it just said, hey, well, I got something to tell, you know? And prior to me getting sick, I had been diagnosed with the beginning stage of dementia, you know? And so I kind of took all that into consideration, like this may be something I might want to talk about, to share, because at that time I kind of wanted to become like an advocate for TTP, just spread the word, because it's a rare blood disorder. Not a lot of people had it. Not a lot of people even knew about it. And so while I was in the hospital, it just dawned on me like, hey, you know, something I might want to tell and talk about. And so, you know, I just kind of start writing, you know, my journey, everything that transpired in my life from football, from elementary school, junior high, high school, concussions, injuries, my whole path to the Dallas Cowboys, College of Arizona State, my successes, my downfalls, my frustrations, all of that. I just kind of just wrote it, just start writing. And, you know, through the grace of God, it just kind of started falling into place and like, oh, okay, this could be something worth really putting out there and talking about. And this is where we're here. Here we are today. You know, I got a chance to get with a publicist, and we just started just working on that process and putting together a book and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, it just kind of transpired into a nice, good book, you know. And it, and the thing about it is I wanted the book to be a, not only just tell my story, but also be a resource for people, for young players, football players, athletes, moms, parents, doctors, just regular people to say, hey, you know, I've gone through all of this stuff. This is what I did to improve myself. This is what I did to become better. This is how I got better. This is how I beat the illness and all the medications I've taken, all the therapies I've taken, what the doctors did, what the doctors tried to do, it didn't work, did work. You know, they can use it as a resource to say, hey, if this is something that happened to Darrell Clack, take a look at his book, and he can kind of give you an idea of all the adversity he went through and how he overcame a lot of this stuff, and just kind of use it as a resource. And that's the kind of process I wanted to do. And that's why I came up with the story, Hear My Story Before I Forget. You know, because at some point when they diagnosed me with having early dementia, I was like, oh God, maybe, hopefully I don't get to that point. But, you know, if I do, I need to at least get this story out.
Right. Now, today, as we speak, has it progressed at all?
So far, so good. You know, God willing, I haven't gotten any, I'm just been normal. You know, occasionally some memory lapses and some things of that nature, but it hasn't progressed to a full stage dementia. So I'm glad of that.
Good. Yeah, we are too. Yeah. I can speak from experience, and this is not to bring anyone down, I promise, or to make this negative at all, but I lost my mother 5 months ago. And to Alzheimer's and dementia, it's combinations. We know they're very, very similar. Yeah. And it was, you know, it was pretty rough 3 years once it was diagnosed, but she also had a stroke and it's just, you know, health problems. She was very, very old. Okay. So, you know, but I have I've lived it. I've lived through, you know, that, and hearing that there's nothing, it's been, I mean, like I said, I looked it up and I was diagnosed 6 years ago for you and nothing yet so far. So yeah, you're on a good path, man. Yeah. That is good to hear.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm happy about that so far.
How is it with the family? I mean, your youngest daughter, 14, 6 years ago, 8 years old, was there a discussion with the family regarding, okay, dad, this is what's going on. This is what could happen. And how did you navigate that as a parent? I can only imagine trying to tell bad news to my children about myself.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the beginning, you know, because they don't understand what's going on. And they just see, dad and just kind of going through a lot of medical issues, you know, and behaving a certain way. Cause you know, she would notice like my behavior. I would have like just little outbursts for no reason, or I would just be, I would isolate myself for no reason. And you know, and she would notice that about dad, and she didn't understand that. Why is dad all of a sudden behaving that way? You know? Right. And so, you know, I had to sit her down and say, okay, this is what's going on with dad, and kind of identify what dementia is and what symptoms are for dementia. And I also had to sit down with her and explain to her about concussions, because I had a lot of concussions. And when you take the concussions and all that stuff combined, you know, it's just, you know, it puts you through a mental period of things that you just never expect yourself to go through. And there's times that I was going through this stuff and I didn't realize I was actually going through it, you know. And so I could be sitting there watching television, and all of a sudden I'm just sitting there with a glare on my face and not realizing nothing's going on. And she'll look at me and say, "Dad, you okay?" I say, "Yeah, honey, why?" She goes, "Because you don't look like you're watching television." And I'm just sitting there. I'm thinking I'm watching television, but I'm not really thinking. I'm right. Watching, you know what I mean? So kids, they notice little things like that, but they don't understand it. So I just really had to just kind of identify everything that I went through, from football with concussions, identify what the concussions were about, talk about what kind of symptoms you get from concussions, talk about what dementia was, and identify, you know, what the symptoms are for that. And so by my be doing that, she kind of understood that. But when we would go out, I could tell she would really look at me to make sure I'm okay. You know, and there was one time, give an example, we went to the mall and went to a store, and I was getting her something at a store, and the cashier wasn't giving me the answers that I wanted to get. And so I started kind of getting like a little upset about it.
Right.
And she saw my upset start to build up, and she saw it, and she grabbed my hand, said, "Dad, it's okay, Dad. It's okay, Dad." And then, so when she did that, I was like, okay, I guess this is what I'm getting ready to get too upset that I shouldn't be getting upset. And she acknowledged that because of what I had told her and explained to her these symptoms. And so she would make sure that she would look at that and make sure that wasn't taking place. And if it was, she just grabbed onto me and said, "Dad, you good? You okay, Dad? You okay, Dad?" And then I just kind of come back to normal. And so very smart kid, but I made her aware of everything. So at that point, once she's aware of it, then she understands it, and then she was okay with it. Part of that, she didn't know, you know, and so she was wondering why Dad was going through this.
Yeah. Well, a little hero right there. They're little heroes.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. It's to this day. My daughter, she's 9 years old. Mm-hmm. She had a birthday last week. We had her birthday party 2 days ago on a Sunday. Got a big old bouncy house, and I bought her an electric dirt bike. Mm-hmm. For her birthday. And I'm regretting this decision because now my 9-year old, even though she's got a helmet on, is going about 15 miles an hour up and down the street.
Oh, yeah.
And there's speed wobbles involved. And it's like, you know, we all know we're boys, we've ridden bikes. It's going to happen. That crash, that first crash, it's going to happen. I hope it doesn't. She's literally riding right now. So if I run away real quick, Nick's going to take over, and I'm going to tend to my injured daughter. But it's just amazing how in a blink of an eye, man, she was 9 years old.
Yeah.
Another blink. I said it in an earlier episode. She's going to be 18 for you.
Yeah.
14 years old, man. It went like that, right?
Just like that. Just like the blink of an eye.
Another snap. It's going to be 28.
Yep.
Oof.
Slow down. You're growing too fast. Slow down.
Yeah.
We have to be like me and just keep popping them out.
Yes. We got to congratulate Nick Martin here. He made an announcement last week. Him and his lady went in and have successfully had another IVF baby implanted into mommy. And 8 months from now, he may have a single baby or 10. We don't know.
Congratulations.
Thanks. We're giving 8 of them away. We've already discussed this on the prior episode.
Still no takers. Daryl, are you in? Are you ready to be a dad again?
Hey, I got girls, you know, but, you know, I was dating a little boy too, but yeah.
All right. So with the stepdaughter, does she have any children? Are you a grandpa yet?
No. She's 27 now, so no kids. Yeah.
Okay.
Kids. Yeah. She, No.
does that idea scare you?
it scares me. But she's 27, and you know, but what I want is for her to establish herself with a career. Yep. And all that kind of stuff. And babies, she got time for babies. Well, you got time for kids, but you need to establish yourself with a good career, no matter, I don't care what it is in, but just have a good career. That way you can take care of yourself and take care, you know, your life and just do things accordingly the right way. You know, just don't have a kid, just be having a kid. No.
Yeah. So, I understand that.
So far, so good with that. But yeah, it does make me nervous. So, yeah.
Well, you know, she's... I'd say anything after 18 is, you know, God forbid, you know, but you never know. And
you never know. Yeah.
It gets scary. So I got to ask a football question. So you played in the 80s.
Yes.
And you're still involved with like players and stuff. I looked at your social media and you're like, you're still involved with the players and teams and stuff. And do you notice a big difference between the players back then when there was like, there was no social media, there weren't as many endorsement deals or the players weren't like social media stars and stuff. And like, I feel like you guys played more for the love of the game and now it's more for love of the fame and love of the money. And
you're correct. You're 100% correct. When I played, like you say, we didn't have none of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so we were paid a lot less and we practiced harder.
Yeah.
We played harder than what they do in today's world. You know, just for example, we practice, you know, 5 days a week, full pads, full contact, you know, and in today's world, they don't even do contact in practice, you know? So what that does is it extends their career because now you're having less of injuries,
right?
We were contacting, having practices with full contact all the time. And so that our career was shortened because now you have more high risk at getting injuries, which was what we did. Pay wise, you know, the older guys, we sacrificed a lot for today's players because we had two strikes. Matter of fact, I was in one of them in 87. I was in a strike, NFL strike. And
that was Doug Williams' year, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that was the start of, you know, laying the groundwork for players in today's world, you know, with free agency and these higher salaries and all that thing. Right? So we missed out a lot in our generation compared to how they are now. And then plus, like, they have social media now. And, you know, so it's like time has changed. And so from my standpoint, I played football because I loved football. I just loved it. And it didn't matter what it paid or whatever. I just loved the game of football. Today's world is it's all about the endorsements. It's all about the big contracts. It's all about how much money I can make. And it's all about, well, if I'm not making this money, I'm not going to play and all that kind of stuff. And that wasn't like that in our world.
Yeah.
So it is different. Player is player, you know, and you're out there for a reason, whether it's that or not, but you start there playing a game of football. And so that doesn't go away.
Yeah. I remember being a kid, my grandparents lived in San Francisco. So my grandpa would take me to the Niners games and I got to meet Jerry Rice, Joe Montana and stuff. And then they bought a dealership up here. And over the years, I got to golf with the guys and hear the old stories. And I'm like, oh man, it seems like so much cooler than what it is now. Or you talk to players now, or I've known a couple of college guys that have gone into the NFL. And it's all about how many social media followers, this and that. And it's like, man, and play because you love the game. Like what happened?
Yeah. I don't know if you realize it, Daryl, but I think Nick just gave you a title of your next book that you could write. If you are interested, are you ready for the love of the game? Not the love of fame.
That's a
good one.
I like that.
Buy that book.
I like that title. I think
the world would be a better place if people stopped caring about how many people follow them or like what's going on in social media. Just do things because you love it, not because you're going to make a buck or whatever.
Yeah. But unfortunately that's just, it's the way of the world. I mean, we're now at that age where we're God, there's kids and those stupid likes. Well, when we were 20s, you know, and what was the big thing that our parents were complaining about and et cetera, et cetera. This is the one, Nick, this is the way of the world. Let's take you back about 15 years, Daryl.
Okay.
It was a fateful day. And the wife or the lady or whoever, the mother of your daughter came to you and said, guess what? I'm pregnant. You're going to be a dad. Mm. Can you remember those emotions? What went through Daryl Clack's mind and body that day?
So it was, gosh, it was because, you know, I had wanted a child because I started late.
Yep, ditto.
I started late. And there was a period before I met my wife at the time that I didn't want kids. And I actually didn't want to get married, actually, to be honest with you. And because I had saw what a lot of my teammates were going through. So I was like, I'm not, it's okay, I'm good. And then as I got older, I was like, you know what? I do want to have a child. I would like to get married and blah, blah, blah. And so when I met my wife, you know, and we dated and so forth. And then when she said that hey, she was pregnant, it was like, oh, it was like, you know, it was like, it was just so refreshing. And, you know, I was so happy, but I got to tell you this though, the greatest thing out of that is when she was born.
That was my next question.
That's your next question. Okay. Yeah. That's the greatest thing I have ever experienced. That's the happiest day of my entire life. No matter through football, through all the accolades, through all the awards, through all money, whatever, the greatest thing that happened to me in life is when my daughter was born. And I cried when I held her, when she was born, and because I was in the living room and I held her, I cried like a big baby.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that I had, you know, this greatest creation that God could ever give me.
Most of us do and did. And, and again, I don't want to bring up the whole grandpa thing because I know it scares us all, but the day that I hold my daughter's baby is going to be, I think that's going to be so overwhelming, emotional that I'm just, I can't even imagine. And thankfully I got hopefully many, many, many years before that happens, but I think about it, man. I really do. And that would just be, whew, it's pretty emotional. It's pretty amazing. The best damn thing in the world. I like to quote, it's the hardest job I've ever loved.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's true. I hear a lot of quotes, and there's one quote that people say, but I really stand by it when it comes to daughters. You probably guys hear it probably too. And it's like your daughter's first true love is their dad. And I live by that quote. And so with my daughter now, I make sure that when I'm with her and we're doing that, I treat her, you know, with, to the point where I want her to make sure that how dad treats her is that when that point comes that she's going to be with the man or get married or whatever, that he treats her the same way.
Yeah.
And I live by that. I live by that.
Yeah.
Yeah. A big thing for me was too, like how I treat my wife in front of the kids. Like, well, all the time, not just in front of the kids, but because I have boys and girls and I want my boys to be respectful and not be like I was when I was a kid and think that it's cool to date everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not cool. So I want my boys to just be respectful and treat women right and not get into a situations with everything that goes on in the world where it's going to come back and be like, man, I shouldn't have done that. So
yeah, that's true. I agree.
It's funny you say that. I'm going to show you something here. My Facebook banner on social media, but I don't know if you can see that. But it says, dad, a son's first hero, daughter's first love.
Yes. Nice.
I so like exactly what you just said, except, you know, I couldn't leave my son out of the picture when, but yeah, it is, that is truly the case. And it is our job as men, as fathers to keep that and hold on to that forever if we can, you know, we don't ever want them thinking otherwise. Okay. We're getting emotional. I'm going to shift gears. Tell us a little bit about, is Sport Metric still a thing for you?
Yes, it is. It we kind of shut it down when COVID hit.
Right.
But it's still a thing for me. So I came up with Sport Metric because I wanted to. So when I retired from football, I went through a transition of what I wanted to do in life. And it was something that I could not figure out whatsoever because at that time, I didn't have a plan B when I stopped playing. And so I went back to college, got my degree, started working in corporate America, you know, but, you know, it was just still, that was just something that was just missing. I couldn't figure it out. And then as time passed and came up, I met a gentleman who and we just had conversations about life, about my career and about football and things of nature. And he's a military guy and I'm a military brat. And so we kind of like everything is kind of fell in place on our connection. And then, you know, and I just sat there and I just kind of figured it out. I said, you know what? I want to do something to help train or give back to youth kids. And he said, well, let's, how about doing something like youth camps or whatever? And I said, yeah, I've done youth camps. So let's start with that. And so we put our heads together and came up with this, this company called Sportmetric. And what we do with this is we do, it's a little different from your normal camps that players do. So our first thing is when we put together a camp for kids, so youth camp from kids between age 7 and 17, the first thing that we talk about is education. We don't even talk about football. Yeah. So we get with the kids and we sit down with them and we talk about education and what their education goals are, what they're doing, what they're not doing. We talk about how important it is to have education and get their high school degree and go to college and so forth. And we really focus heavily on that. The second level that we talk about is community involvement, getting involved with your community, helping out people within your community, not being a bad person and doing things and against that's not good, or, you know, get in trouble with the law, all that kind of stuff. We talk about getting involved with the community, helping maybe there's volunteers with foundations or just helping people at school, just anything that's helping out the community. And then the last thing we talk about is sports. And then so we'll put them through a camp where we'll have drills. We do what we call you remember the combine, where they we do the same thing that the combine does for NFL camp. We do the same thing with those kids.
Nice. So we
put them through all that, those 40-yard dashes, the weights, drills, the cones. We time them. We log in all that information, and we put together a spreadsheet, and we make sure those kids have all that information: their weight, their grades, their how much they bench with their 40 time, and we give them all that information. And so the next time they come, or if they go to another camp, they can use that to compare if they're making any kind of improvement. You know, so if you had a C at the time when we met with you, by the time you come back to us, that grade should be better.
Yes, sir.
You know, and we'll ask you about it. And we'll ask them about it. You know, and if it's not, then we'll question, why is it not? You know, and so that's kind of what Sportmetric is all about. And, you know, it's something that allows me to feel good about myself as far as giving back to kids.
Right.
And grooming them to the point where they're on that right track. And I tell kids, I say, everybody here wants to be a professional football player, but they don't realize that not all you guys are going to be professional football players. It's less than 1%.
Yeah, very few.
Very few. And I tell them that, you know, and also I do a focus group with the parents. And the parents may have questions or like the process and how can they get what they need to do to get their kids to be better, to make it to a Division I college, to get to the NFL. And I make sure they are aware this is a process, but I got to tell you right now, it's a slim pickings that your kid may make it. If he makes it, great, but he may not make it. But the key though is in that event, I want you parents, I want you to get the kids and have a plan B. Any event that does not happen or does not get to that point, what's your plan B? And it starts with education.
Absolutely.
And so I do folks group like that. And so that's kind of what Sport Mentor is all about.
Gotcha. I mean, if you can't play, coach, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if you love the game so much and you like it and you can't play, coach it. You know, they always want coaches, you know, or trainers, you know. Yep. There's so much you can do with it, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Nick, have you put together a fast five for Daryl Clack by any chance?
I did.
Okay, so this is a segment we like to do, Daryl. It's called the Fast Five. Right. Nick's going to ask you five random questions, and they're not crazy. And they're not too intricate or deep. And I may ask a couple afterwards as well, depending on what he asks. And away we go.
All right. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
What would it be and why? If I could have a billboard, it would be a big picture of me and my daughter. And to identify what dad should represent when they have kids.
Very cool. What's your most rewarding parenting accomplishment?
I would say probably seeing my daughter do well in school with her grades. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a big advocate, so I'm always involved with her education, and I'm always helping her with the school projects and homework. And so that's, to me, is a big, big, accomplishment for me.
Very cool. Your funniest parenting fail.
Funniest parenting fail. Oh gosh. I probably would say try to talk to my daughter about feminine stuff.
I have not had that opportunity yet. And by opportunity, I mean, no.
That's not the one. You better go talk to your mom about that. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I always refer to the mom. Nope. I'm out.
That's hilarious. Okay. We haven't had that one answered before. Sorry.
Your favorite meal to cook for your kids?
Tacos.
Awesome.
She loves my tacos. Yeah, I love my tacos.
So it was a fast four today. I thought.
Oh, okay. Let's add a couple. Is your daughter a football fan?
Yes.
Who's your favorite NFL team?
Cowboys.
That's not a reach. How about college?
Arizona State.
Well, okay. She's a mama or daddy's girl.
Exactly.
Daddy's girl. All right. Does she have dreams of aspirations of attending college and yes, where dad does. Went?
Yes, she does. She actually, we've had numerous conversations on what she would like to study. And she, you know, she's back because she's young, but she's been back and forth between a lawyer or a nurse or, you know, or a therapist or a counselor or whatever. So she's back and forth. But I think right now she's leaning more toward nursing. But her number one school is Arizona State, but she loves the beach.
Oh, that's going to be a problem.
So now she's like, well, Dad, how would you feel if I went to a school in California? I said, I'm fine with that because Daddy loves the beach too.
There you go. And it's still in the Pac-12, man.
Yeah,
so
Pac-12. Yeah, exactly.
Unless she goes to SDSU. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if we're talking beaches here and colleges, San Diego is not a horrible option.
Not a horrible at all.
At all. So and they got good programs too for all of them.
Yeah. Good schools. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I feel this is one of the most important questions I ask of all my guests. It's fairly simple. Daryl Clack, if you could offer one piece of advice to any new father or upcoming father who's just, you know, not quite sure, oh my gosh, super nervous, scared, one piece of advice you could offer that new father, what would it be?
Communication. I think the biggest thing to have us to establish with the kids or is good sound communication. Communicate with them, but make them feel comfortable enough to talk to you about anything, good or bad. And when I say that is that don't make them feel that if they come to you with something that's bad, that you're just going to get on them.
Yeah.
And be hard on them and be, you know, and just be just like, you know, that's not good, blah, blah. But just to be to the point where you understand, and if it's something that's bad, I'm sorry that it happened. I understand, but let's come to an agreement on how we can fix this and make this better, and communicate that, and make that child tell you what she or he can do or is willing to do to make it better, and then you come up with a game plan. But you make them feel that they're important enough that they can put their and add their input, you know, and you know it, at it was my first time, you know, I was like, you know, I'm an athlete. So I'm like, you know, push hard and, you know, no excuses and discipline. And you know, that I had that football mentality.
Right.
And I had to adjust that because she's not a football person. You know, she's a girl. And so my approach had to change. And so what I did was I just became more to the point where I'll talk to her and ask her how she's doing, what's going on, and let her tell me. And I don't push and drill her about things that didn't go well. And I just say, okay, well, let's fix it. What can we do to fix it? What do you want to do to fix it? And give my input and let her give me her input and just have that constant sound communication. And then when you get that communication and they trust you, and then they can talk, then they'll talk to you about any and everything. It doesn't matter what it is. They'll come to, hey, Dad, I had this problem. Or, Dad, this happened in school. Or, Dad, I didn't do.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I had this conversation and figured out. That's it.
Awesome. That is, if there was a perfect answer out there, that's about as close as it's going to come, man. Right there. Impressive. Okay, good, good. Man, we need more of you. The world needs more Daryl Clacks.
Thank you guys.
Out there. All right. So let's ask a question. My final question before we let you go for the day, good sir, is who's winning the Super Bowl this year?
You know what? That's a good question because all these changes have been going on and everything. But, you know, Brady's back with Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Wait, come on. Is Brady at some point in time, Brady needs to realize he's old. And is it going to be this year?
No.
I don't think so either, man.
He's old, but he is still.
It's the Brady, avocados, man. It's
Brady,
the avocados.
Brady is the GOAT. Brady is amazing.
He is.
At his age. So I never rule out when Brady's playing. I never rule him out. But the thing is these teams made some adjustments. You know, Russell's in Denver now. And and it's like, gosh, you know, it's really hard. And then, you know, Arizona Cardinals, they were looking good last year, but you know, they choked up in the playoffs this year. So, and then I'm a Dallas person, so I always lean toward Dallas, but they kind of disappoint me sometimes. So I'm like, oh, great. They're not doing well, or they start well and they kind of pan off. So it's really hard to say right now, but you still got to look at Kansas City.
Yeah, I know.
You got to still look at
Kansas City. That's difficult, but yeah.
But here's another thing, too, is you got to look at Cleveland.
Oh, is Deshaun – well, Deshaun's playing.
Deshaun's playing. Yeah, they got that. Yeah, so that's a solid team. You know,
it is.
So,
it really is.
And the way that the Raiders are doing things now with the team they're putting together, you can't rule them out right now because they're going to surprise a lot of people.
I hope so. Oh, it's in my wallet. I was in Vegas a couple of weeks ago and I like betting. Okay. But I haven't had a very good run of sports betting for a while. So I was like, okay, JP's going to pump his brakes. Mm-hmm. But here I am sitting in front of a kiosk looking at the odds. I'm in Vegas. The Raiders are my team. What's a $20 bet going to pay off if they win the Super Bowl this year and I make the bet before summer's even started. Mm-hmm. If the Raiders win the Super Bowl this year, my $20 ticket will net me $720. So,
okay.
We'll see. And you know what? It's not a reach. Got Devontae coming into town. This whole new coaching, a whole new system. Yeah. Derek Carr's got his boys around him. He's going to be comfortable. I mean,
yeah,
it could happen.
Not a reach. Not a reach.
He is Daryl Clack, man. Before we let you go, is there anything you would like to share or impart on our viewers and listeners as to where they can get your book, find out more information about you, all that good stuff, man? I would love to hear it. Now's the time.
Yes. Yeah, so you can, I'm on social media. So I'm on Facebook's Instagram at dclack42. Come friend me, like me, and all that kind of stuff. And then my book, you can get it off Barnes & Noble's and Amazon. And it's called Hear My Story Before I Forget. So you can reach out through me. And then I have a website, too. It's darylclack.com as well. And so there's different options. You can reach to me, get to hold of me, and it's my book as well.
There you have it. He is Daryl Clack, man. Sir, you've been an amazing guest. I can't even express how much appreciation we have for you for coming on, taking some time, talking about being dads. I know we could probably do this on and on and on and on and on.
All day long, yeah.
now, I know it's early, really early, but I'm going to plant the seed and then I'm going to let you go. We do a Father's Day episode every single year where we bring back as many of the guests we've had on in the prior year to hang out, say hello to everyone, wish everyone happy Father's Day. It's about 20, 30 minutes long. We would love to have you on. However, we've already finished this Father's Day episode that's dropping next week. Okay. So we want you in line for Father's Day 2023. I know it's way out, but that's just me planting a seed. So Nick, write that email down. We got to get Daryl back on.
Yep. Count me in. I'm in.
Yes, sir. Getting back on for a part two anyway. I think we got more we can talk about. So.
Yeah, I'm working on another book too.
Oh, there you go.
let's schedule in Daryl Clack part two.
All right.
Well before Father's Day next year.
Yes.
All right.
Love it.
Excellent. All right. Daryl Clack, thank you so very, very much for everyone listening and everyone watching on the YouTube. You know what to do. Do all the things, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll catch you on the very, very next episode. Thank you for listening, and we appreciate you. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me. It's a great time. Appreciate it.